I also think, you know, it sounds very appealing in a way to modern sensibility, some of the way they promoted themselves. You know, this is not about building churches or
right.
building buildings, collecting tithes. Someone said, oh, Los Angeles Record, did they say? No. You know, no collections taken, no bills posted, no church or organization is in back of it.
That's correct.
It was it was driven by human beings searching for God, or
exactly.
as you say, with the Bible and the pulpit.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It was unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it attracted people in part because it was so unique, but also because there were so many connections with various networks of people, not only in the city, but around the country. And
again, it was organic and it was human. It wasn't institutional.
No, it was not institutional. There was no institution as such.
Right.
I think Seymour saw himself as having a direct relationship with Charles Parham, but Parham was 1,500 miles away in Houston, Texas, and there was not another Pentecostal church between the two of them.
Yeah.
So here he is, very much on his own, and he's an African-American. You know, they are very much a minority within the city of L.A. at the time. I think there were 238,000 people in L.A., 5,400 of whom were African-American. And the vast majority of African-Americans in L.A. at that time are middle class or above. They're well-educated, they're property owners, they're involved in government positions, they're in the police department, the fire department, schools are integrated. You don't, it's not the kind of L.A. that you think about today, which is, what, 50% Latino and
right,
a lot of poor
right,
people.
Right.
But,
yeah.
So anyways,
you did
unique.
Describe it as body, whether you had this description of L.A.
Yeah.
at the time, which raw, rugged, body, and eclectic,
yes.
which I thought would still work in 2000.
Yes, it would in many respects. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But it has to be seen as a boom town, you know, where, mm-hmm. where things are just ready to take off, really starting to take off. And they are taking off because there's a great deal of optimism on the West Coast. I mean, we're opening up the Pacific Rim. The Long Beach, San Pedro port is really under construction already. They have just, within the last 2 years, have had four transcontinental railroads attached them to the rest of the nation. And in 1906, Henry Huntington finishes his streetcar system, the Pacific Electric System, which connects everything in Los Angeles to all the outlying suburbs. So, you know, for 10 cents or so, you can go to Pasadena or Monrovia or Santa Ana or down to Long Beach or whatever. It's very inexpensive, and no house is further than three blocks from any streetcar.
Hmm.
So transportation is just an incredible gift, in a sense, to these people who are coming. And these people are all in transition. L.A. is getting 3,000 people a month into the city.
And at that time, the whole population was, what, a couple hundred thousand?
238,000,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the building industry, the land development industry, Huntington, of course, owns a lot of beachfront property all along all the beach towns, Redondo Beach and so forth. He's out there developing that and sending his streetcars out so that people can get to it. It's really quite a positive scene, in a sense. But it makes possible, then, the expansion of this ministry right from the start.
I see.
So within days of the time that they begin, they're holding meetings on Monday mornings with leaders within this congregation saying, where do we go next? Who do we send? How many people do we need to get this started? And so forth. And as you look at the end of each one of these streetcar lines, another church springs up within 3 to 5 months.